As a guy who has yet to have children, I don't know the joy of getting to choose their name. I imagine it'll be a good feeling and quite a fantastic feeling. And I'll be hoping that the name that I choose will correlate to those values that I hope that my son or daughter will possess. The names at the top of my list at the moment are Aragon if it's a male and Xena if it's a female. And clearly I'm not ready to have miniature versions of me running around just yet. But a name is an important part of a person's life. And with recent news of someone naming their child hashtag and a lady in Egypt naming her daughter Facebook, it's easy to forget that people's names can play an important role. And once you get stuck with a name, it can be hard to get rid of it. So what does your name say about you? Perhaps you have been named after someone who has done something great, or perhaps your name is from another language and means something. Now, the name Brendan is from Irish descent, and it started off by saying it's a masculine name, and I like that because that made me feel good. But the name Brendan means a prince. Now, that's it, a masculine name meaning a prince. And my last name is Taylor, which either means to cut or it is taken from the occupation of a tailor. So basically, I am a prince of tailors. Now, whether that means I'm a prince who likes to cut or a prince who makes clothes, neither way makes sense because I can't even fold my clothes, let alone try and make or cut them. So when someone meets me for the first time, they don't get to really make any judgments on me based on my name. I hope they don't anyway, because that wouldn't really give them a clear view. It would be nice to be given a name that would allow people to know me straight away. Now, this series we are studying in Acts is about the characters' lives and what we can learn from them. Now, Acts 1:12-26 brings up a few of the apostles as well as Judas. Now, next week we'll be focusing on Judas. And this week we are focusing on the two fellows who were nominated to take Judas's place as an apostle. So we start with the apostles, and they've just been called to fulfill the scripture after Judas has left them. So from verse 20, "For," said Peter, "it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, that there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership.'" So the apostles have gathered together, and in verse 21 and 22, they talk about what it is to be an apostle. So from 21, "Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." Now, it gives us a clear picture of the kinds of person needed to take on the role of an apostle, and it had to be someone who'd been there through it all. Now, the Bible often speaks of apostles, sometimes using the word apostles as meaning sent me, and sometimes, like in this situation, just talking about the apostles. Now, we find out about the two nominees in verse 23. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Now, why does this guy get three names? Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justice. Now, it could have been that Joseph Barsabbas was a common name of the time. The name Judas Barsabbas is spoken of in Acts 15:22, and Joseph would have undoubtedly been a common name. So it seems like Joseph has been given a nickname, if you will, but it's not like our nickname. See, I'm called BT because it's quicker than saying Brendan. Jethro's called Jet because that's a good name and you can't really pass it up. But it's a shortened version. But we are given these names not because they have any special meaning, purely because they are just convenient. But Joseph is given the name Justice, which means just that, upright and fair. See, his character was so strong and he was such a just guy that the people around him named him accordingly. Now, this was not totally uncommon in the time. We had Simon the Zealot, And Simon was named Peter, which meant the rock. And James and John, I'm going to try and get this right, were called the Boanerges, which meant sons of thunder because of their temper. Why aren't there cool movies? Big Hollywood movies. That would be a cool movie, Sons of Thunder. So to be named according to your character was not uncommon back when all this was written, but it doesn't happen much nowadays. Now, I couldn't fit any kind of story based on England in here, but I've managed to fit a cricket story in. So last year, a Zimbabwean cricketer retired from international cricket at the age of 29. His name was Tatenda Taibu. Now, 29 is normally seen as quite a prime age for most sports, and particularly cricket, that's normally when you're in your prime. At the age of 16, Tatenda debuted for his country, and at 20, he became the youngest international cricket captain ever. Now, his reputation as a wicketkeeper batsman was shared amongst even the great teams, but he retired to work at his local church. Taibu will be remembered to some who knew him for his cricket as one of the best players for Zimbabwe and statistically the fourth highest run scorer. But to most who know him and when you read up about him, now the first thing that's Tatenda Taibu is remembered for is he is the man who gave up his international cricket career to follow God. The name Tatenda Taibu will always be put with the man who gave up cricket to follow God. Now, I suppose it's not a one-word nickname, but it's a good modern example of someone who does have a positive nickname. What would your nickname be? When people see you around and see your actions, but maybe they forget your name, what words would they use to describe you? Would it be honest, fair, truthful? Maybe it would be love. Now, I have a good little test here to see if love would be what people could call you. And if we look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonour others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, a good test there is maybe to just try trading out the words love and it and putting in your name. So, to see how that goes. So, Brendan is patient, Brendan is kind, etc., but not Brendan, your name. And how does that stack up? How does that go? Could you have a nickname of love? Maybe you have some thoughts and some hopes of what people would call you. You know some things you do well in life, some things that reflect well on you, and you can show them each day. But it's not all about the earthly praise. You could be called the nicest things by people around you, and that would be wonderful. But what would God call you? Would it be Christian? Would it be follower of Him or believer in Him? So we go to verse 24, and it's time for the apostles to decide who will take Judas's place. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over the apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lots fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. So it's a simple prayer, and then there's trust. Now, even though these two fellas were upstanding and top blokes, the apostles still asked God who should take the spot. Not even the apostles knew who to appoint. Now, essentially they prayed, trusted God, and sort of flipped a coin. And it sounds simple, and on the face of it, it doesn't really sound that great. Was this neglect from the apostles to flip a coin to decide who would take on the new role? Or was it done in an act of faith and trust? See, both of these men would have done a great job, and that gave the apostles the opportunity to leave it up to God to decide. Now, This doesn't mean for a second that that when we have a tough choice in life or when we can't decide something, we should just go flip a coin, because that wouldn't be great with all of life's uncertainties. But in those times, it is up to us to make the best choice. Then we can trust that God is big enough to control our outcome. Now, it also isn't like the apostles just got together and sat around a table and then flipped a coin. No, they didn't do that. First they referred to the Bible. Then they prayed, and then they consulted those in the church who needed to be spoken to. They didn't just say, "I'm stuck. What do we do now? Let's flip a coin and see what happens." No, they obeyed, but they also trusted. And we can take a lot from this. Now, we don't hear anything else about Joseph or Matthias. We don't hear how well Matthias did as an apostle. And we don't hear how Joseph reacted and how he continued in his ministry. But what we do know is that these two were ambitious to serve God. Their ambition didn't come from power or fame. It didn't come from wanting everyone to know that they're an apostle. They're not featured again, that could be in the Bible, and that could be a reminder of showing us that it wasn't about them, but rather about God. So we go back to that question, what do you want to be known for? In Matthew 19, Jesus speaks with a wealthy man. The man walks away sad because he is given the challenge to give up his wealth, but he doesn't want to. And this is a challenge we all face. It might not be with wealth. It might be with position. It might be with power. It could be with a success and making a whole bunch of money. But perhaps you want to be known for being the best in your field. Or would you be content with simply being known as someone who loved God and loved others? Last week, Mike spoke about the quiz he gave his kids on their mother. And imagine the response, getting that response, someone who loves God and loves others. That is something we should all really be striving for. Now, like I said before, perhaps the days of getting a simple one-word nickname to describe who you are gone. But when people can't remember our name, how are they going to go out and describe us? Will it grow God's kingdom? Luke ends Acts 2, talking about the positive ways believers were living. And because of this, God was adding to their number daily. So as you go out this week, that's something to try and keep in mind. Go out and live up to your name that God has given you. Not just so that you can get a cool nickname that'll be a nice reminder, but so that when you go out, people will also want the same names. People also want the same name given them by God. People also want the same aspects of their lives to be seen. Make it your challenge to go out and have a good name and a good character and not just a label.